All righty, well, if you could find your seat, we're going to begin this morning. As I was looking over my notes last night, just going over everything, I looked over and I was like, well, this is week 9 of being in this series, and boy, does time fly when you're having fun, that's for sure, that's what they say. So we're just going to continue on in this series on the foundation of our faith, talking about our faith, talking about how we encourage our faith, talking about how we grow our faith, and what we do with our faith. That's the big question for us as believers, is once we have it, once we've encouraged it, once we've seen it working and moving, what do we do with it? And we've been going over different ways we can carry it out, and the big one that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks is the way our faith is fulfilled, the way we fulfill our faith is by carrying out the will of God in our life. That's how we do it. We have faith. We believe in him. We see him work in us, and then he begins to work through us. He will use you to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. I know she's not in here right now, so I can get to pick on her. Jess Britch, who opened up the service, it's a funny story. Megan asked her to be a part of the altar ministry team. She goes, what does that look like? What does that mean? I don't know. What does this mean? She goes, as long as I don't have to open service, I'm fine with that. As long as I don't have to open service, as if I don't have to do what Megan does, I'm fine with that. And so I messaged her this past week. I said, hey, how do you feel about opening up service this week? How do you feel about that? And she goes, are you kidding me? And I go, no, I'm not. And I go, think about it, pray about it. And she said, yes. And she goes, I think the Lord is going to take me out there. So it's just a testimony. It seems like a small testimony, but it's a big testimony about if you let your faith work, if you let your faith move and work inside of you, something that you formed weeks ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, said, Lord, there's no way I'm doing that. I'll do this, Lord, but I'm not doing that. He'll say, just you wait. Just you wait a little bit. Yeah, just you wait. You wouldn't know it from me right now, but about 5-6 years ago, I hated talking in front of people. And you go, really, you, Pastor Andrew, you can go for an hour? Yeah, I used to hate it. And you're going, oh boy, those days, 15 minutes, Pastor Andrew, that would have been great. I would have loved to hear you talk then. But no, you got me. You got me who likes speaking, because I said, Lord, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do with my life, and I want to do your will. So we've been going through the New Testament, looking at those examples where the scripture says, this is the will of God, and we have one last one for us today, and then, Lord willing, we're going to wrap up this series next week. But the will of God for us today is to live honorably. And that's the will of God for us today. We're going to see that in scripture. His plan, his desire for us as believers is to live a life that is honorable, to live a life that glorifies him, to live a life that makes decisions that give him the glory, that we are like Christ. We've been talking a lot about that in this series, living like Christ. Not only are we called to honor others, but we are called to live a life that is deserving of receiving honor. It's not just important that we honor others, but our life needs to be a life that is full of honor. That someone can come up and say, hey, that person's deserving of honor because the way they live their life. And if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to spend our time there today. I'm not going to jump around too much. We'll be in that section of scripture. But as we enter in, I just want to pray this morning, that wherever we're at, this past month, this past year, these past couple of weeks, this morning, could have been a nightmare. It could have been awful, and you're going, Lord, how do I live honorably moving forward? Because some of the things that are going on, some of the decisions that I'm making right now, some of the decisions that I see ahead of me that I can't move past, we're going to make this decision. We're going to pray together right now. If you make it, you ask him this morning, we're going to ask him that he would just work in our lives, that we would live honorable lives. Amen? All righty, let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you. Lord, we want our lives to be an honorable life. We want it to glorify you. Lord, your scripture says that you have washed our sins away and we are as white as snow, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for myself and everybody in this room, Lord, that we could do everything in our power because you have given us the power, Lord, to walk with you. You have given us your strength. You have given us your spirit. You have given us your mind so that we can walk with you. And Lord, I pray this morning for every person in this place, Lord, that our hearts, our mind would be turned to you to say, Lord, I want to honor you. Father, soften our hearts to receive your word this morning. Wherever we're at, whatever decisions we're making in this life, Lord, you have given us an opportunity, a second chance to say, Lord, I want to walk with you. Father, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty, so 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 14, it says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperors as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." So we're going to press some buttons this morning. Raise your hand if you're ready for your button to be pressed. Are you ready? Alrighty, I'm ready for my button to be pressed. Let's do this. Living honorably means submitting to authority. Hallelujah. This is exactly what we were all looking forward to this morning, is a message on submitting to authority. Don't worry. We got the same message going down on in the kids' room. So if you're a parent in here, they're getting the talking to. If you didn't hear my daughter this morning, you're like, oh, Pastor Andrew, your daughter better be down there too. I go, believe me, she's down there too. So we're on top of things here. But it's submitting to authority, something that comes naturally to us, something that's easy for us, something that we love to do, love just handing my rights over as a believer. It's amazing. I gotta tell you, this challenges me a whole lot, because when I see that someone is sinning or doing something that doesn't align with the Lord, and I know that it's dishonorable, there are people that are above us in this life that we look at and go, that's not a person of honor. That is a dishonorable man. That is a dishonorable woman. They are not walking out the things of the Lord. In contrary, they are almost anti the things of the Lord. There's no honor in sin, therefore I don't have to submit to them, is the attitude I would say most of us have when it comes to this, myself included. If there was a leader above me that I thought, they're not living a life of honor, who am I to listen to them because they're not living a life of honor? And part of that is true. There is no honor in sin. That part is very true. The scripture is clear on that. There is no honor in sinning. However, when it comes to our leaders, we are called by God, whether they are honorable or not, to submit to them. And that is challenging. That is tough. Oh, I see a lot of faces are like, oh, the weather is nice. I can get back to church after some brutal weeks. It's going to be encouraging. There are dishonorable people in our lives that we have to submit to because they have authority over us. And that is tough. And that is hard. I believe as believers, we think sometimes that we don't have to submit to their authority if they're doing something that we don't like as believers. Oh, they're doing something I don't like, they're over, so I don't have to submit to that authority because I'm a believer. I don't have to submit to that authority. But God tells us to submit to all authority, not just godly authority. Talks about all authority. It says it right here. If you're questioning that, be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution. And we're going to get clear on some certain things, so just bear with me. And that word subject means to be obedient to our leaders. That's the call on our life, is to be obedient to those who have authority over our lives. If you look back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Roman soldiers came to arrest him and persecute him, do you think anybody could have had an opportunity to go, oh no, I'm not going with you? It would be the Son of God could say, no, I'm not going with you because you're not godly authority and I'm the Son of God. But no, he goes with them. He goes with the Roman soldiers. He willingly went even though he had done nothing wrong. And I don't want to spend all morning on this because I want to talk about other things. But I want to challenge us that we are called to be obedient in this world to people over us, even if we don't like it. And this is tough because we grow up in a country where submitting is something that is associated with weakness or being less than. And let me tell you, submitting to authority doesn't mean you have to stand by while injustice happens. Submitting to authority doesn't mean when you see somebody in sinning that you don't call it out. Submitting to authority doesn't mean that when you see somebody doing something wrong that you don't stand up for what is right. Submitting to authority means that if there's someone above you, you say, I'm going to love and honor you even though you might not be worthy of it. That's what Christ did. That's the example that Christ set before us. What if as a nation, we prayed for our leaders the same way we speak ill of them? What if we did that? What if every single Christian American prayed for our former president the same amount we griped about our former president? I'm just saying, what if every single Christian, New York State Christian in this state prayed for our governor instead of complained about our governor? And let me tell you, we could complain if we wanted to. There are things that we could be upset about as believers that we would be right to say, that's not the way it is written in the scripture to live our life. And we can stand true on that. But what if we prayed for our leaders rather than complained about our leaders? I'm telling you, Timothy, when Paul is speaking to Timothy, he's saying, pray for your leaders. They need prayers. If nothing else, to say, Lord, save that person. They need you, Lord. They need you. And don't hear what I'm not saying. I don't believe and stand with everything they believe in. I want to make sure that's very clear. This is not me saying, oh, we got to stand with them on everything. No, I'm just saying, what if we as believers prayed for the people that we disagreed with, prayed for those who are standing in unrighteousness? What if we prayed for them and asked the Lord to soften their hearts? When Moses went up against Pharaoh, he didn't go, you stotting, ranking, you're the awful man. You're not good, man. I hate you. The things you're doing for this nation, they're awful. He said, Lord, if his heart would be softened to you, soften his heart. Soften his heart. And unfortunately, his heart wasn't softened, and that's why it turned out the way it did. But the Lord doesn't say honor those and be subject to those you like. He says honor everyone and be subject to all authority. And for us as believers, because God tells us we should, that should be enough for us. The Lord tells us we should do something, that should be enough. But thankfully, we serve a God that says, hey, if you do this, there's blessings and there's a reason why I'm asking you to do this. And we see that continuing in verse 15 of Peter. It says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. In other words, doing good will shut someone up. In other words, if you do good, if you live your life in a goodwill way, it will shut foolish people up. There's a Catholic poet and priest, his name is George Herbert. He said that living well is the best revenge. That's basically what this is talking about. Peter is saying that if you are doing good, if you are walking the life that you should live, if you are living an honorable life, the foolish people around you, they'll have nothing to say because you are living an honorable life. And let me tell you, people around you, when you are living an honorable life, they will try to say things. But there will be no worth to what they have to say. Silencing the ignorance of a foolish person. That doesn't say it's going to silence them. It's going to silence their ignorance. The things that they say, there will not be weight to it because you are living a good life. If we truly want to see unrighteousness and the evil things in this world around us be silenced and not be able to come against us, doing good in the eyes of the Lord will solve those problems. If you go, dude, I don't know why. It just seems that everything is coming against me right now. All right, keep on doing good in the name of the Lord. Keep on walking. That's why Paul continually says, he goes, just keep on having faith. Keep having faith because it's going to pay off. Fight the good fight because it's going to continue to pay off. And see, if there's someone in my life that is driving me nuts, a thorn in my side, as Paul says, the best way we can shut that person down is by doing good. That's the best way we can do it. This is advice that I give to couples who are struggling in their marriage or struggling in a relationship, that when they feel they're not being treated the same way in this relationship. You're not treating me the same way. You're not treating me how I deserve to be treated. The first thing that I tell them is to outdo that person in honor. Outdo that person in honor. The world will tell you to do the opposite. Oh, if that person's not honoring you, you don't honor them. You don't honor them. You show them up. You're not going to take care of the dishes. Well, I'm not going to take care of the. Oh, you're not going to take care of the garbage. Well, I'm not going to take out the trash. Like, there's all, and it goes back and forth and back and forth, where the scripture says, "Hey, if someone's not honoring you, you know what you do? Outdo that person in honor." If me and my wife are in an argument, which, by the way, never happens, I'm just letting you know right now, we're so holy that we never have arguments, we never get in any sort of fights or anything, never happens. Obviously joking, just by the way, if somebody wants to come afterwards, I'm very, very much so kidding. The thing is, the argument will end the quickest when one of us says, "Hey, I'm sorry. I don't know how we got here, and I don't know what the answer is, but I just want to say I'm sorry for whatever got us to this point. Let's work this out." That shuts that argument down immediately. Immediately, it cuts out any negativity, cuts out any pain that's in that conversation, because when one of us takes the first step to do good or act honorably, it gives that other person no fault to find in that person. We're in an argument, we're frustrated with one another, and I say, "I'm sorry, do you forgive me?" She could be frustrated with me, but she's not going to find fault because I'm going, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." If we are doing good, there can't be fault found in our life. But say my wife says something that irritates me, which, by the way, I'm going to say it again here, never happens. It doesn't happen. Let me tell you that it doesn't happen. But say theoretically it happened where my wife said something that irritates me. And I come back with a retort, or I come back with a jab, or I come back with a, "Oh yeah, well, yesterday when you did this," all it's doing is amping her up to go, "Well, you know, the other day you did," and then I'm going, "You know," and it's back and forth. And a simple argument is who's going to take out the trash is now pointing at fingers at something that the person did 10 years ago. Because what we're doing is, rather than finding the good in one another, we're finding the faults in one another. That's why he says, do good, and it'll shut down the foolishness. It will shut down the ignorance of a foolish person. The same goes with living life. If you do good and walk in the Lord, it discredits anything that comes against you. There's things and guidelines and boundaries that I have in my life so nobody can come and say, "Well, Pastor Andrew, you did this thing," and I go, "No, I didn't." "Well, yes, no, because I don't do that. I've set up boundaries so I won't do that. I set up these things in my life so I know that won't be a problem." And so there's no argument that Paul talks about. He goes, "I set things up in my life so nobody can discredit me." He says, "I have good conscience before man because I know I have done good in this life, so they can't come against me." It guards you from the world coming against you. And if you're taking notes today, living honorably will guard you. Living an honorable life will protect your life. I've known so many people who have walked in sin, and then something comes against them, and they go, "How did I get in this place?" And I go, "I could tell you why. It's because you sinned." I've been there in my life where I've gone, "Lord, how did I get here?" And he goes, "May 15th, 2014, you made this decision, and now I'm here." And going, "Oh, wow, yeah. where I can say the same thing about doing good in my life. Alrighty, Lord, when I gave my life to you, I started to see things change. I started to see good come out of my life. I started to see me not hanging around the same people. I started to see the people around me. If there was attacks from the enemy coming against me, I could say, no, I'm walking with the Lord. No, my life looks like this. Because I have set myself in a foundation of doing good, as the scripture says. If you're living honorably, what claim can come against you? I'm being for real. What claim can come against you if you're saying I'm living an honorable life? What can come against you? Nothing can come against you. Oh man, that Tyler and Jess, you know, they really, you know, they what? They nothing. Because they're saying, I want to live my life honorably. I want to live my life in the things of God. And when we start to live outside and start not doing good, that's when you get, oh my goodness, did you hear what happened to the little Spencer boy? Oh my goodness, oh, he made a decision. Oh my goodness, because people can say negative things about you when you're living a life of negativity. But the thing is, when you're living a life of good and someone starts to say something against you, you can say, no, I'm living a righteous life. I'm living and walking in the things of God. It protects you. It guards you. They can't come against you. And that's why Peter says what he says next in chapter 16. He says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. That's the purpose of living a life of freedom. Christ saved you from something, but he also saved you to something. He saved you to do something with your life. And that is to live in your freedom to serve him and walk with him, not to fall back into evil. It's to be used as an opportunity. God's grace is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for us to use willy-nilly whenever we want. That's not the purpose of his grace. It's an opportunity for us to walk in freedom. If right now, if I said to everybody, okay, if you're sitting here in this sanctuary this morning, I will pay off all of your debts, all of your loans. I will pay it all off. And if you're willing to do that, come talk to me after service. There might be a way for you to serve this congregation. But what if I told you that? If I said, I will pay off everything. Complete financial freedom. You could have that right now. You go, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, you'd be a fool not to go, yeah, I'll take you up on that offer. There'd be a sense of financial freedom for you to go, wow, I don't have any more debt. These loans that have been hanging over my head. Dude, I don't have to tell somebody, college loans are crazy. It's ridiculous. $90,000 in debt for a couple semesters at a college, that's wild. But to go, I'm paying that all off for you. Hallelujah. Now, the best thing to do from there would be to make financially smart decisions, right? To go, okay, somebody paid off all my debt. I can now use this financial freedom to work and begin to save and make financially smart decisions. Or you can go, oh, there's a guy willing to pay off all my debt. I'm just going to get myself back into debt again because I know there's someone that's going to pay my debt off at the end of the day. That's the opportunity that the Lord gives us. I've paid all your debt. I've paid all the fines and the consequences of your sin. So you have an opportunity to walk in this freedom, to make right decisions, to grow and walk with me. Or you could say, I know there's someone that's always going to be willing to pay for my mistakes. Why not take them up on that offer every single day? That's what I like to call cheap grace. You nullify every time we sin and we're saying, I'm walking with the Lord. We're saying, Lord, I know you died on the cross for my sin, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again, Lord, because I know you're up there anyways on the cross, Lord. You might as well take this sin too. That's a hard place to be. When you feel that and go, wow, every decision I make here on and every single day forward, every time I sin, I'm saying, Lord, you deserve to be up on that cross for me. That's what our sin does. When we're knowing and we're walking into sin, and I'm not, it's going to get good. Don't worry. This is not where it ends here this morning for us. But that is the weight of our sin when we say, Lord, I'm going to continue living in sin. That's what we're doing. And man, I've been there for long periods of my life where I'm going, Lord, I know I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin again tomorrow. And when I realize the weight of that, I'm going, Lord, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. Walking in freedom with the Lord is the reason that he died for our sins. It's not so we could go back and sin again. It's not so we could be a jerk in the name of Jesus because we know that God's going to forgive us anyways. It's not living in sin and saying you're doing it right to reach non-believers. That's still sin. You see, living honorably will result in serving the Lord. If we're living honorably, it will look like we are walking with him, we're serving with him, we're being and spending our time with him. And this word serving is just a synonym for worship. If we're living honorably, our life will look like worship to the Lord. That's why honoring the Lord and serving the Lord go hand in hand. I think sometimes as believers, we can take second chances for granted because the Lord is so gracious and merciful to give them to us. I'm so grateful that I serve and walk with the Lord that is giving me second, 10, 50th, 100 chances because he is so gracious and merciful. But we have an opportunity when we receive that grace, when we receive that love to go, I'm not going to go and sin anymore. That's the opportunity we have. That's the freedom that we have in Christ. What we do with our lives when we become redeemed and recognize his love, his mercy, and his grace shows how we view the Lord. It is. It shows how we view the Lord. You can look at my life and go, that's how Pastor Andrew views the Lord, based on his decision-making, based on how he's doing. That's how he views the Lord. We're called to honor and love and to fear the Lord, which means to be in awe and respect. And that's a huge part of being honorable and living in honor is 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. We don't have an emperor, but honor the king, as other translations say. Honor the leader that's over you. Again, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here because we've already talked about this, and there's a couple more things that I want to talk about this. But living honorably means that we honor all people, we love other believers, and we fear God. Amen. That scripture says to honor everyone. It doesn't say honor some people. Honor everyone. If we are to be children of God, if we're to be honorable men and women, it means that we honor all people, including our leaders. It means that we love other believers. It doesn't mean we have to enjoy the company of every person. There will be those people that you go, oh, this person rubs me the wrong way. You can still love them. Hallelujah, can I get an amen? You can still love that person that rubs you the wrong way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It means that we fear the Lord. Yes, he's our friend. We can have a relationship that's right here. And I think that we're great at having this right here relationship with Jesus. Oh, he's my friend. He receives me. He welcomes me with open arms and he loves me. Yes, he does. He's also our creator. He's also our savior. He's also the one that designed us. He's also been before time and will be after time. And with that, when he says to do something, there needs to be a little bit of a yes. Our daughter threw a little bit of a spat this morning because of something that happened, and she started crying, and I did a here now, and she knew, oh boy, and it didn't necessarily stop the crying or stop the spat, but there was this reckoning, oh, dad said something, I need to listen, and then inevitably, mom took her because I was doing something, but we knew that when mom said something, we listen and we know, and that's the way we need to recognize our relationship with the Lord works. Yes, he's our friend. Yes, he receives us. He receives our imperfections, but he's also our creator. He's also the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, and when he, Lord of Lords, and when he says something, there needs to be this, okay, Lord, you are my King, and if you ask me to do this, I will do this. There needs to be that awe. I've got a couple more things, but I'm going to close with this one right here. This next part is something that I believe is really going to challenge us. I didn't mean to. My goal and intent was not to put this heavy message on all of us. My goal was to challenge us with what the will of God is for our life. And let me tell you, the Word of God will challenge our lives. It will. It'll call out the best of us. It'll call us out. If walking with the Lord was easy, everyone would do it. Everyone would turn around and go, I'm going to walk with the Lord today. The scripture says that the gate is narrow. Walking with him can be difficult sometimes, but let me tell you, it is the best possible thing that you could do for your life. My goal here today is not to go, woe is me, it's so hard, it's so difficult. Some of us might not get by. It's to go, if you really want to do this, it takes some work, but let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth the work. It is worth the work putting into our relationship with the Lord. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be subject to your master with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Living honorably is not based on being treated honorably. Living an honorable life is not based on being treated honorable. Our society treats others based on how they are treated. If you treat me honorably, I'll treat you honorably. The scripture says, treat others the way you want to be treated. We're getting back to first grade here. We're getting back to the golden rule. If you honor me, then I'll honor you. We do this in our marriages. Oh man, there's no wonder that our marriages fail. If we have this attitude, if you honor me, I'll honor you. Because at some point in your marriage, at some point in your relationship, at some point with your children, at some point in your life, somebody is going to dishonor you. How many people have been dishonored in this room? Anybody experienced some dishonor? Anybody? All hands should go up. And we're given that opportunity. Are we going to dishonor that person back? Or are we going to go, they're worthy of my honor? Not because they did something, but because the Lord tells me I should honor them. And that is tough. Honoring someone has nothing to do with the person's gender, race, age, and it doesn't even have to do with their character or if they're a believer. The scripture says we honor everyone. The scripture says that we are supposed to honor those even if they're unjust, and that really starts to mess with us a little bit. It really starts to mess with us because honor that person, really? Do you know what they did to me, Pastor Andrew? No, I don't. I don't know what they did to you, and I'm really sorry for what they did to you. I'm sorry for the brokenness, pain, and hurting you have in your life because of them. But let me tell you, a world where you move on and dishonor them because they dishonored you, it leads to pain and hurt. But the scripture says, and I am going to get into it because I think it ties it in nicely. The scripture says that when we honor those who dishonor us, there's favor. If a person is created by God, the Lord tells us to honor them. It tells us to honor them. The way I honor my wife doesn't change based on whether or not she's honoring me. It doesn't change it. It doesn't impact it. And now there's a huge difference between honoring and accepting. You can honor someone, but you don't have to accept what they're doing. You can honor the fact that someone is different from you. You can honor the fact that someone has a difference of opinion. You can honor the fact that they live a different lifestyle. You can go, alrighty, I still honor you. I do not have to accept that. I do not have to accept that. He tells, hey, servants, if your master does something that's unjust, you have to honor them. Doesn't mean that it's good. Doesn't mean that it's okay that they're unjust. It just means that there's a level of love that you're showing that person. There are people in my life that I will honor, that I will show them respect because they are a creation of the God Most High, and I will show them honor because of that. But let me tell you, they have made decisions that have impacted my life in very, very difficult ways that it'll be very tough for me to trust them. that I won't open up my lives to them because of the decisions that they made, but I can honor them because the Lord created them. I can show them love because the Lord created them. You can tell someone the truth without being dishonorable. That's something that we have to realize. If you see someone living in sin, if you see someone that you disagree with, you can tell them the truth in a way that doesn't dishonor them. You can say, this is what the Lord says, and he loves you. And you can leave it at that. How many know that we should leave it at that? This is what the Lord says, and he loves you. Because as soon as we start to go past that, that's when we begin to go down a narrow road. You see, the scripture says that they will know us not by the way we belittle dishonorable people. No, the scripture says that they will know us by our love, by the way we treat them. I'm going to close with this scripture, 1 Peter 2, 19 through 20. It says, for this is a gracious thing. Oh, let's prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for this scripture. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if you sin and are beaten for it and you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, that is a gracious thing in the sight of God. You see, living honorably is to do good while enduring suffering. Man, you could hear a pin drop in here this morning. This was the word of the Lord is encouraging us that while we're going through hard times, when we're going through difficult things, I can remember during COVID when we were dealing with a difficult person, and Pastor Eric said, maybe we're not getting the best out of this person right now. His mindset was, there are tough things going on. We are going through some suffering right now. But rather than acting dishonorably, let's honor this person. Let's honor the fact that even though that they're not acting the way they should, something might be going on in their life. We have to recognize as believers, if we're enduring hardships while living honorably, the Lord sees it and the result is his favor for us. If we are going through hard times, there are people going through hard times this morning, and if we go through those hard times while living an honorable life, he says he receives it graciously, meaning he'll have favor for our life. Hard times are not a result of God wanting to see us struggle. They are a result of living in a sinful, fallen world. And when we endure hardships while righteously and living in purity, we will receive favor. We will receive favor. We just need to make sure that we recognize the root of our hardships. That's something that we need to do, is look and go, is this hardship my doing, or is this hardship coming from something else? Because if that's the case, we need to just enter into prayer and go, Lord, whatever's going on in my life, if it's from me, Lord, show me so I can change my ways. And Lord, if this hardship is not from me, give me the grace and the mercy to stand through this hardship. Give me the grace and mercy to come out of the other side of this, to live honorably. You see, there's no favor in sin, and that is not to condemn us, but to encourage us that if we face trials in this life, even if we are living righteously, then we can receive favor. We can receive favor if we go through trials and say, I'm going to live righteously in this trial. And that's hard to do. That's hard when the walls are crumbling down you and go, I'm going to do and live this thing the way I should. There's so many times when the walls crumble down around you and you go, all righty, we're jumping. Y'all see the Titanic, when the boats start going down, you start putting on wigs, every woman and child first. Anything I can do to get off this boat, I will do it. But the Lord says, live honorably. Live honorably in the trials, and there will be favor in it. Let's stand this morning. I know that this was not the easiest pill to swallow in regards to encouraging messages, if you will, but I really believed it was something that was important for us to hear, that living honorably is so important. Living in the way that God has designed us to, in the goodness of God, is so, so important. So let's bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you reminded us at the beginning of this message and all throughout worship, Lord, that when we come to you, you receive us with open arms. You receive our brokenness. You receive our hurting. You receive our pain, Lord. And Father, through it, you redeem us, Lord. Father, there are people in this room, myself one of them, where if we would start opening up about the things that happened in our past, it would shock people. And yet, Lord, you redeemed us from that. And so, Father, because you have redeemed us, because you have saved us, because there is freedom, Lord, we want to use that freedom to do good. We want to use that freedom to live honorably. We want to use that freedom to walk with you, Lord. Don't let our freedom that we have be an opportunity for us to fall back into sin, Lord. Father, I pray that every person here in this room, hearing this word, Lord, that it would land and rest on their hearts to encourage us all. Father, that if we walk with you, Lord, there is favor. If we walk with you, Lord, and we live honorably, you do things for our good, Lord. That in the tough times, in the painful times, as things seem to be sinking around us, Lord, if we say, Lord, I want to walk, I want to live honorably, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, Lord. And that at any point, this is the beautiful thing, Lord, about your mercy, about your grace, about your gospel, is that at any point, Lord, we can turn the ship around and say, Lord, I need you. So, Lord, if that's us this morning, we just lift up our hands and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you this morning. Father, we ask that you'd give us the strength to live honorably. You'd give us the courage and the boldness. Lord, there are people here right now that are taking steps of faith to live honorably in an environment that is dishonorable, Lord. And you see it. You see that person right now. If that's you this morning, if you are a person who is making a decision and it's been a hard decision to live honorably amongst dishonorable things, the Lord wants to encourage you this morning to do not give up hope. Keep having faith in this dishonorable area that you are in. Be the light that shines. I encourage you, in order to be the light, you need to receive the light. So if you want to continue to keep honoring the Lord, get yourself in the Word. Begin to pray and seek Him. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We give you this time. You are a great provider. You take care of us. You are a protector. We love you and we worship you, Lord. Father, we give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. There will be refreshments down in the cafe down there. And if you're part of a guest experience, whether that's ushers or greeters, if you want to be a part of that time after service, there will be an opportunity for you to meet. But right now, our altar ministry team is going to be up here. So if you have prayer needs, if you want to receive prayer, I encourage you to please come up. So everyone have a blessed day. Bless